We should. People should be able to hear us now.
Well,
you haven't broadcast the music, Alan.
No, I haven't.
So, that comes later.
So yeah.
People don't know to pay attention if the music's not playing.
Their loss.
So.
So it's just the four of us this evening. Weird is out in Maine. Up in Maine?
Up. Down. He's out. Down in, yeah.
Over? He's over and up in Maine.
He's down. It's down east. Yeah.
And our condolences. Weird's grandmother died, so that's why he's not with us this evening. So condolences to Weird.
Man, somebody's got some.
What? Is it me?
No.
Always me.
Somebody's got some static.
Let me move my phone. Maybe it's me. Is that better?
No.
No.
Okay. It's not me.
There, now it's better.
It must be Jay.
Of course it's me. Is there any question? Come on.
I don't hear it.
Yeah, it's all right. It's intermittent.
Okay, well.
I need to wrap my headset in tinfoil, apparently.
Are you flushing?
I am not.
Okay. Anyway, Nancy is going to be weird tonight.
Nancy's always weird. A little weird.
Yeah, exactly. I make the rest of you all look normal by comparison.
Only because they can't hear me.
What?
Huh? Now what?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, it's going
to
be.
So how was everyone's week? Alan?
My week.
How was your week?
My week was spent in West Texas on the Great West Texas Tour.
Who'd you piss off?
I went to Midland and I went to Odessa and I went to Monahans and I went to Fort Stockton.
Yeah, Midland. Wasn't George Bush from Midland?
Somewhere like that. There's a big sign outside of Midland that's like hometown of George Bush, and I'm like, oh really? How come he's not living there?
He's up in Kennebec because they got better Roomba instructors or Zumba instructors. Alan snorted.
Yeah. So anyway. I thought about seeing the Odessa meteor crater, but I discovered it looked like a large pond and decided to skip it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yep. Holy crap, we already got a call.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm going to do the music-y thing first.
We'll catch up with the rest of everybody.
Can't take calls before we have the music-y thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Call back, people.
It's not legal. No, stay on the line.
Can I talk about the big development?
Yes.
Oh.
You guys don't even know what it is. I was just going to talk about Myra Camp.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's very exciting.
It is very exciting.
You know, I'm a dork.
Everybody can
go to MyraCam.com and look at my turtle when she's awake. Usually, it's December, so she's not really awake. Basically, Myra Camp was set up as kind of like a baby monitor for me because Myra has this tendency to, like, crawl around and get hyper, and she tries to climb the sides of her little box, and then she'll flip herself over, and it makes me panic, because if turtles flip themselves over and can't right themselves, they'll suffocate to death. So I'm spazzy about it. So Alan was nice enough to set up a Myra cam for me, so I can check in on the turtle when I'm at work. This is why I don't have kids, because I would be like, insane at this point.
Myra Cam is cool.
Human children do not suffocate
themselves when they lay in their backs.
Actually, I think she's buried again because I don't see her.
She's asleep. It's December. It's 9 o'clock at night. She's sleeping.
She's buried.
She's plotting, Brita.
Yeah. Well, she was awake today, and she was. You can kind of see her butt up in the right hand corner. She's sticking her butt out. She was awake today, and she had a bath, and she walked around, and she ate some worms, Nancy.
Oh, yay. Thank you. Yeah, sorry I missed that.
Were they
in a bottle of tequila?
Yeah, they kind of look like the worms in tequila. I don't know. I'm sure they're not the same thing.
I'll send her my slugs next time they show up in my sink, okay?
She loves slugs.
Yeah.
She loves
I don't even want to know how. I just don't want to know.
You don't even want to know what it looks like when she eats them.
No, I probably don't.
Oh. Exactly. I probably don't. So that's what's going on here. Jay, you, anything?
What's that? Aside from my furnace dying?
Oh. It always happens in the winter. What's
yeah.
up with that?
Well, that's when it gets used. But
yeah.
I swear we have the Yugo of furnaces. I'm serious. I went downstairs. I looked at it. It said Trabant right on the side. I was like, you son of a
I miss yes, steam heat. I wish we all had steam heat because that actually works and is warm and is actually pleasant.
I'm waiting. One more major malfunction and I'm swapping it over to gas.
Good idea. What is it now?
It's oil.
Oh, my. Yeah, really?
It's like $9,000 a gallon.
Yeah.
So I might as well just shovel $20 bills into a fire to heat my house.
It might be cheaper.
It might be, especially with inflation. I found the one spot in my house that doesn't have static. I have to stand perfectly still.
Oh.
Good. That seems to be working.
Like, I'm
don't
stuck.
Move. Crap, get a piece of tin foil and stand on one leg and
like the old Ariel.
Yeah.
You know, Jay, your furnace thing kind of reminds me of one of our topics for this evening.
We have a topic about wretched balls of suck and fail.
Let me play the music first.
Okay, play the music.
And now it's time for the Scroll Report. Thursday, December 6, 2012. I really like that picture on the blog post of the tickling squirrels.
Mm-hmm. The tickle monster.
Yep.
Well, we had a topic lined up for last week, but we never got to it because everybody was needing to tell me what to do. But
not everybody.
Well, not everybody, but
everybody tell Brita what to do.
I appreciated everybody's input. I still have not, you know, decided or anyway. The topic that we didn't get to last week was there's this excellent piece. It was actually in the USA Today, which I never read. Except, you know, if anybody, you know, somebody sends me a link. It was by Glenn Reynolds of Instapundit. I'm sure everybody's familiar. The column was titled, Are We Living in the Hunger Games? And I don't know if anybody's, you know, I'm hoping people have read the book or at least seen the movie. I'm going to put the link to the story in the chat. And I was fascinated by this because with the economy the way it is now, it seems like everybody's hurting right now and everybody's making changes in their lives. I know that we've made some changes in our life here and, but all the studies they've done is that the economy in Washington, D.C. and in the surrounding counties, they're doing great. So one of the calling questions this evening I wanted to ask people was what sort of changes have you made in your life to survive the coming economic catastrophe? You know, they keep talking about this fiscal cliff that we're, you know, oh no, how do we avoid the fiscal cliff? You know what? We're not going to. It's not going to happen. We're going over. So.
Wee!
How are you going to survive it? Like, have you made changes? We've made some changes. Bonnie says she lives in District 4. I don't know what district I live in. I haven't looked at the map. But we've made some changes as far as like, a bunch of stuff. But we are gardening now and putting away food. And Mike kind of looks at it in one way as if we plant food during the summer, that's at least like 3 or 4 months where we don't have to buy produce. You know, we're not real good at putting up food, but we're getting there, you know. It has saved us money. This next year, it's going to save us even more money because we don't have to do, like, we don't have to build. Well, we're doing the square foot gardening, which is terrific. I highly recommend it. we don't have to build the boxes this year or get the soil or all of that is done. So all we have to do is basically plant stuff and water it. And then we have food. So, you know, it's just like, little things that what are the little things that you're doing in your life to kind of survive the monster? Yes.
I'm gonna find the people that are hoarding and kill them and take their stuff.
That's your plan? Do you have enough ammo for that?
I do.
Yeah. Well, that's a plan.
Yep.
Are you gonna be at the Walmart? Are you gonna be like defending the Walmart?
No.
The Walmarts. Remember the Walmarts.
Walmarts, plural.
Nope.
Okay.
I intend to be the warlord of the Northeast.
The warlord.
I'm going to be the Lord Humongous. I've already got my colander picked out.
Oh, nice. And I'm not going to talk about the rest of the outfit. Thank you.
I have a couple of belts. I figure I'm all set.
Okay. That's good. You ever see that OJ? I'm going to... Never mind. That really terrible Sean Connery movie, Zardoz.
Zardoz.
I can totally picture Jay in that outfit.
You have to find it now.
Yeah.
And somebody will Photoshop my head onto it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's perfect. It would be perfect. And he even has the mustache.
Oh, yeah. I don't have
yes. Ponytail.
There. All right, hold on. Hot swap.
It even kind of looks like you. Oh, jeez. That's fun.
Okay.
Nancy, are you plotting and planning for the upcoming...
I'm sort of following Alan's plan.
It's a good plan. Uh-oh.
Well...
Jay?
Oh.
There. I went to the corded headset.
That sounds much better.
Yeah. Yes. The static was irking me.
I have a local contact where I can show up, and they're pretty self-sufficient, and I can make myself useful because I can't garden. I can't do it. I mean, I know how. I don't care enough.
Yeah, but you got that whole primitive weaponry thing going. You know, with the
I can cast my own ball. Sure, no problem.
Wait, say that again.
I've got bayonets, so I can do the stabby, stabby, pokey, pokey thing. Hello?
Hello?
I'm sorry. I go to my bunk.
I'm trying to think of an outfit for Nancy to wear for that.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I think I'm gonna cut that little piece out of the
sure,
and make it a ringtone. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that's one of our call-in topics. You know, and every week we do this thing where there's a call-in topic, but really you can talk about anything. Just call up and talk
to us.
That's
right.
That's the point of the show. The number here is 214-530-0036.
And we have callers.
Excellent.
So let's take one.
Good.
Area code 508. Hello.
Hey, Alan, Brita. This is Arctic Elf. How are you guys doing?
Hello, Arctic Elf.
Hey, how are you?
What's up?
Not too bad. I'm standing in the middle of a boarding line in the middle of Atlanta International waiting for my flight back to Norfolk.
Oh.
So he called the squirrel report.
You know, that gets you an automatic rescreen, right?
Well, so the new thing that I noticed on the way out of, to go completely off topic, the new thing in Orlando is clearme.com, where apparently for $180 a year you can submit your identity and your biometrics to skip the TSA line and submit to a biometric pre-screening that'll get you right into the concourse. Apparently, according to a friend of mine, and y'all who know me on Facebook can look it up, a buddy of mine in IT security the vulnerability assessment has already been written and it's found wanting. And that's all I'm going to say on a reported line.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's just stupid.
Yeah, like the terrorists aren't going to get on this program, right?
Sure.
Let's just put a program in place specifically designed to...
Well, you still have to go through screening, don't you?
Well, you still have to go through the magnetometer and your bag still have to go through the X-ray, but, you know, you get to skip the probulator. And...
Yeah, that's not so bad. Nobody's going to... In fact, I'd be happy if they just rolled the TSA back to the pre-9/11 metal detector thing and just...
Well, yeah, that'd make...
Gobbledygook.
About if we just...
That'd make far too much sense and be far too effective and
right.
cost far too many jobs.
Yeah. Now that they're all union.
Well, are they yet? I don't know if they got approval for that.
Yeah, they have a collective bargaining agreement with the...
They won that one, which is
they're all union
damn
members
shame.
Now.
Yeah. Again, I have no further comment on a recorded line.
Very wise.
Smart.
Ask me in person, especially after you bought me a beer, and I'll give you a more thorough review. But to the call-in topic, the thing that Lady Elf and I have done in the last year to prepare for the coming apocalypse is to refinance to a 15-year mortgage on our house.
Yeah, we're thinking about refinancing, too. Now's the time to do it. I've heard people are really saving a lot of money on their mortgages.
Well, we didn't save any money, but we went from a 30-year to a 15-year fixed rate mm-hmm. for the same price and cut our interest rate by 2% and some change.
Okay.
Which, you know, assuming that the mortgage interest tax deduction remains, is going to cost us money. But I don't think that's got a great half-life coming. And so I think once that goes away, we'll be ahead because we'll be paying less interest and the note will be paid off more quickly. Also, it'll hopefully keep us above water on the mortgage as the real estate market continues to tank.
Right.
And so, it will.
I mean, we live in the Norfolk area, so we've been spared a lot of the bother because we've got the heavy DOD and military, you know, and gun government presence there. But
yeah, wait till the budget cuts roll in.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I think the towns that are well insulated by DOD and government are sort of living in the fall of 2008. Spring of 2009 right now, you know, the way the rest of the country was living. And there's a lot of people in for a rude awakening over the next couple of years who thought they were safe in that, you know, government middle-class enclave who are going to find out they aren't.
That'll be interesting.
Yes, it will.
Yeah. And
it won't get interesting until the free shit stops flowing.
Yeah, then it'll get really,
really
interesting.
Yeah. Which is when my plan will
stop flowing?
The free shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, see GS-14s who do no work except supervise two contractors and one GS-13. There were already... The rumor mill in Norfolk already has it, that a lot of those guys are going to get laid off this time. Because when U.S. Joint Forces Command was disestablished 2 years ago, they got rid of all the contractors, but they kept all the upper management GSs. And this time, as Joint Staff realigns, they're apparently planning to get rid of a lot of that. Let's be polite and say useless middle management.
Well, you know, If your job is, as you say, you know, if you're supervising, you know, two contractors and another employee, then, you know,
needed.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Fundamentally, you aren't needed. And I mean, Alan, you remember from being in the Marine Corps, how many people is a lieutenant colonel supposed to have under him, even when he's on a staff role?
Yeah, a lot.
Hundreds?
Yeah.
Hundreds? Yeah. We've got GS-14s who, you know, single digits. That's a lieutenant colonel equivalent. Never mind the GS-15s who are supposed to be colonel equivalent, full colonel equivalent.
Yeah, I've always been mystified by the government, the GS whatever, because it's all weird to me.
Let's put it this way. If you think the unionized part of the federal government is bloody useless, and I've never worked with them, so I can't speak to it, but my impression after I went to work for Dollar Sign DOD Contractor was everything I thought about how useless government employees were, it turns out I was wrong. They're a lot less useful than we all thought.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So the more interesting topic I had for you guys was and I think it was actually on your list, was The Monster Within, which I presume is based off of Law Dogs
post. Law Dogs post, yeah.
That, one of the things that got me thinking of was not, he seemed to write about it from a perspective of controlling it or keeping it from coming out. The thing that's more interesting to me was, how do you harness it?
Harness it as in to use it?
Yeah. You know,
I read that, you know, somebody in the comments of that post, and for everybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, Law Dog, who is a blogger, you know, just Google Law Dog. It'll show up in your thing. He wrote an excellent post about how everybody has this monster within them. And how, you know, do you control it? Do you let it out? You know, that sort of thing. Somebody in the comments of that blog post mentioned learning martial arts is an excellent way to learn how to control that.
Well, and I would tend to agree that martial arts is an excellent way to learn how to control it, although not necessarily how to harness it, and you know, heavily based on my experience dealing with let's be honest, my monster within, the ability to use that to either stay in a fight or overcome an adversary in a fight is really valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you can use it and not let it use you, then you've got an advantage, clearly.
What was that?
Oh, no, we're losing him.
Yeah.
He's being probulated.
Hey, I'm back.
Okay.
Sorry. Unfortunately, you guys are also my boarding pass, so you had to go through the scanner.
Oh.
So apparently Delta Airlines will allow the squirrel report onto an airplane.
Oh no.
You're approved by the TSA. There you go. There's your tagline. Squirrel report. TSA approved.
Oh no.
And I don't know, maybe I'm not expressing myself very well, but the best example is, I don't know how many of you guys have been through either OC or pepper spray training.
Oh yeah.
You can, you know, you, as long as you want to keep fighting, pepper spray is kind of irritating.
Yeah, it's not going to stop you.
It's not going to stop you at all. But as soon as you decide, you know what, fuck it, I'm done, pepper spray becomes just overwhelming suck and fail. And really all you want to do is lay on the ground, preferably in a pool of cold water, and sort of whimper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And,
I'll take your
and
word
that,
for that.
If you can say, you know what, monster, it's time for you to do something useful and help me fight, that's the difference between being done and being in the fight.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
But But if you can't do that, then you're done.
Oh, hey, thanks for calling in, man. We got some more people stacking up here, so.
All right, you all have a good night. All
right. Have a good flight.
Yeah, don't crash.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Oh. Those Arctic Elf. He's a great guy. He's very cool.
Arctic Elf.
Yep. We have another caller.
Yeah, we have another caller. It's okay. MDev.
That's where we're at.
Oh.
Oh, and MDev got himself a bullhorn.
Yeah.
It's the weekend. No,
that was a terrible trying to pet accident.
Oh, he sounds awful.
So, well, nice to hear from all of you. I'm glad I can actually talk. I had a root canal yesterday that friggin' sucks.
Yeah.
I was,
what the hell?
That was my
what
phone.
Is going on?
What the hell? 6 o'clock in the morning already, the boy ain't right.
Is that one trying to break me?
No.
Okay.
Can you all hear me?
What?
Yeah, you're pretty much sounding like crap, which is... interesting. You actually, MDev, you sound worse than Jay.
Yeah.
Did this fix anything?
Yeah, that helps.
Okay, good. I'm apparently learning that the Bluetooth is not the preferred method of communication.
No. Speak directly into the phone.
Yeah, don't you tell me what I'm doing now. So yeah, I was saying I was excited I was able to call with you guys because I had a root canal yesterday and it sucked.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Did they give you lots of Novocaine? That's the key. Lots and lots and lots.
You know what? My new dentist, who is now going to be my permanent dentist, not only gave me a metric fuck ton of Novocaine, but sent me home with 25 Vicodin for one root canal. So,
oh, shit.
Dude, wow. you're like rich in Seattle.
Give me his phone number.
It's like currency.
I didn't question. I just filled the prescription. I only used them yesterday. And now I've got 22 Vicodin left in the safe. So.
And now where's your street address again? We now know what MDev is doing to survive the oncoming apocalypse.
Yes.
He's got this
is my
healthy teeth.
Yeah, exactly. I'm signing up for a couple more root canals before the end of the year.
Hey, don't knock it. Teeth, you know, pre-dentistry teeth was a major cause of death in humans.
Us using teeth as cards—that's one of my favorites.
So, actually, what I have been doing to prepare is actually what I haven't been doing or what I haven't done. I paid off my truck about a year ago, and I would really like a new shiny one, and I'm not buying one because my old one still has four wheels, and none of them are falling off yet.
Excellent.
So. I mean, that's a big part of it, and it's freed up a big chunk of our budget, you know, a couple $100 a month. And
But when they I do mean, fall apart, when the wheels do fall off, take it from me, get a new truck.
Oh, yeah.
Because once the wheels fall off, it ain't no good no more.
I've already got the new truck picked out. It's just a matter of I'm only at 189,000 miles on this one. So,
oh, please,
you know.
That's nothing.
I know. Well, it is a Chevy.
It depends. If it's made by the same people that make my furnace, it's about to die.
Oh, Joe, I got to tell you a quick furnace story. So before I moved to the West Coast, I grew up in Connecticut. And I was little. I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And our furnace, you know, just fucking died. And, of course, it died, like, I don't know, I want to say it was either the week before Christmas or the week after Christmas or one of those weeks when everybody was in the union and on vacation. So I got the easy thing out. Mom just scooped me up, took me to Grandma's and, you know, did that. And my father, who was, you know, still working and doing all that, he whatever, found the furnace guy to come out, and the guy was going to come out at like 8 in the morning, but needed everything shut off and no heat and all the rest of it, you know, for 12 hours the day before, which was no problem because the furnace was dead. And Dad, for whatever reason, decided to, you know, be the tough guy and spend the night in the house, and learned that shitty new construction at that time, which is like late 90s or early 90s, is fucking cold when you're not adding any heat and there's snow on the ground in Connecticut. And he still to this day claims that that was the coldest night of his life. And this is the guy who's done a lot of hiking and backpacking. So it's, I at least in a small amount understand the dead furnace thing.
Yeah. It was not fun.
Yikes. Yeah.
It's considerably less fun by the fact that it happens, like, you know, every year.
Well, then in that case,
we signed
your oil, your oil tank needs a couple of 308 holes.
What? It's because it has all those speed
Shoot
holes?
Shoot it. What? He said put some 308 holes in it.
Yeah, don't tempt me. I want to put in one of those whole house wood stoves.
Oh, those are good.
The ones that are like the size of a small garage and sit in your backyard and burn whole trees.
Yeah. The ones with the wood chipper that feeds directly into the firebox?
Exactly. I want hippies to cry when they go past my house. I want sequoias going into the chipper to warm my house. Owls and all.
Hey, can you feed the hippies that are going to protest you as well, right, through the chipper?
He can only hope.
Guys, if you really want to protest, lean way over the chipper. And here, hold on to this piece of metal.
Yeah.
Ah!
There's a CNN camera inside the chipper.
Look, Cindy Sheehan.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Dave.
Thanks, MDev.
Yeah, no problem. And then the only other thing that we've done is every time I go to Walmart, I pick up a box of ammo for something.
That's a good idea.
Now I got to get stock. So.
All right.
And, you know, bye. Talk to you later.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Hey, that number, 530-0036, area code 214.
That's like every time we'd go to the warehouse club, we'd pick up a big box of real light bulbs.
100 waters.
We have like a stack of them in the basement. It's awesome.
That'll be the new $100 bill when the
that's right.
Kids, I can't.
In the post cliff America.
That'll be Rita's currency. Yeah. I got light bulbs. Oh man,
that, I'm gonna be selling.
Yeah, that bottle of whiskey is gonna cost you four hundreds. and a case of, and a box of 22s.
That's where I'm covered. See, I've been doing what MDev mentioned, but I've been doing it for the past like 5 years.
Yeah, buy a box of ammo.
So basically, my bed is actually sitting on 22 bricks.
Oh,
boom!
Don't.
Hey, it's gotta, you know, you gotta put it somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, is Nancy still on the line?
Yes, I'm still here. She's just very quiet over there.
Her mic is excellent, unlike mine.
Yeah, she does have a good mic. What kind of mic do you have there, Nancy?
Whatever.
Tell Jay what kind of mic you have so you can go get one.
It came in the box with the iPhone.
Oh, you're using just the iPhone ear thingies.
Yeah, that would be it. That's the technical term, ear thingies.
That's what Brita uses, and it works great.
Because Brita and Nancy are not me.
Oh. Mm.
Maybe Jay has like one of those electrical thing like Mike has.
Yeah, maybe he does.
How does your watch work?
My watch works fine. It's my
bank
furnace.
Cards.
Bank cards, credit cards, not a problem.
Hmm.
You know,
car horn.
You're speaking of the monster thing.
Yes.
And I put a link to the article in the chat a while back. You know, I'm going to go really geeky here for a minute because there's one of my favorite books of all time is Cryptonomicon by Neal Stephenson. And there's a great quote in there talking about, you know, basically human evolution, sort of. anyway, this is kind of a nerdy guy. Anyway, and the quote, it's like like every other creature on the face of the earth, Godfrey was, by birthright, a stupendous badass. Albeit, in the somewhat narrow technical sense, that he could trace his ancestry back up a long line of slightly less highly evolved stupendous badasses to that first self-replicating gizmo, which, given the number and variety of its descendants, might justifiably be described as the most stupendous badass of all time. Everyone and everything that wasn't a stupendous badass was dead. And, you know, the point being that humans, you know, we like to pretend we're civilized and you know, all that kind of stuff. But humans, even the most useless, fat and lazy welfare queen is a vicious, vicious animal.
Well, yes.
Kids, go to Walmart on Black Friday.
People, the veneer of civilization on humans is millimeters thick, if that.
It's wafer thin.
Yeah. And, you know, people are animals, and, you know, like any animal, if they're cornered, they will fight back. We didn't claw our way to the top of the food chain by being nice. You know, people are badasses, and you always need to keep that in mind when you always give someone a way out, because when they don't have a way out, they'll turn on you.
Well, Alan, how's that? Isn't it a Marine expression? This is, you know, be courteous, pleasant, and have a plan to kill everyone you meet.
Yeah, I don't know if it's specific to Marines, but yeah.
Heard it in reference to Marines, but
that's Brita's motto.
Well, yeah.
Oh, speaking of Brita,
I work with the public. What
did you know? I knew this, but I was reminded of it tonight.
Uh-oh.
Annie Oakley was 5 feet tall.
Yes, she was.
Brita is 5 feet tall. Coincidence?
Brita is, yes, obviously.
I don't think so.
She was also from Ohio.
That's right. See? Reincarnation of Brita is the reincarnation of Annie Oakley.
Not even close.
I don't know. She kind of looks like you.
You're very nice, but no.
Just saying.
Okay. No.
5 foot tall. Rifle shooter. Rifle was her preferred thing. Saying.
Did they do Jay?
Bonnie did. That's not me.
Oh, God. That's good.
Oh. Alan snorted again.
Bonnie,
that's funny.
Probably wondering, what the hell are they laughing at? Bonnie photoshopped a picture of Jay's face onto Zardoz's body. Awesome.
I like the sunglasses. That makes it perfect.
Oh, awesome.
The scary part is the body's pretty damn close.
I think you got a new costume to work on, Jay.
Yeah.
I need a bandolier.
Yep.
Stat. Oh, shit.
Okay. So, that's a...
I'm still waiting to see Nancy as Barbarella.
Were we going to do that?
There's a picture of Barbarella, and she's standing there, and she's got, like, that kind of space-age long gun with a weird stock.
Yes.
Oh, and it would be... Nancy would be perfect.
You know, I can almost... The few times I've seen that movie, I can almost forget that's Jane Fonda. Almost. Nancy would make a good Barbarella.
Nancy would kick Barbarella's ass twice. Okay, that is not me, damn it.
Are you sure?
I'm plugged in. How can I get static?
I don't know.
I'm plugged directly into the damn computer.
Mute yourself.
Do we have other callers, by the way?
No, we don't have any other callers.
Well, we're waiting for callers.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, did you hear it? Okay, I'm gonna mute myself.
You always sound good to me, Jay. I don't know everybody else is like complaining about your static. I don't hear
it. Okay, did it stop?
No, I still
you
heard
sound
it.
Sound okay. the same.
It's not me.
Okay.
I went to. I tethered myself for nothing. Damn you all.
No, but the mic sounds much better.
It does. I know. I like being able to pee while I'm doing the podcast. All right, I'll admit it. I've gotten to the point where I mute it.
Oh, thank you.
It was like it's not even stereo. Like,
this is not Fish's Circle. So
yeah.
Oh, Alan, could you please discuss that comment we got on the Fish's Circle thing?
Yeah. Well, it all started off with I was looking at server stats, and it turns out that Vicious Circle still gets a shitload of downloads. I mean,
that's frightening beyond the capacity for rational.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm talking, you know, like thousands a month downloads. I mean, it's crazy. It made me was like, huh?
It's Chinese spammers.
And so, you know, I was like, who the hell listens to this old thing? And so a couple of people popped up with, you know. But there's a comment on there, and it's, you know, you can go see it. It's on the page. It's like this guy goes, I won't say his name, but you can go read it. He says, I'm glad I don't show up in those stats as I don't download old episodes of VC. I carefully archive them all to local storage so I can listen to them anytime I want without downloading them again. Sometimes I even say my precious while I'm listening to a particularly good old episode.
I'm unnerved by that. Unnerved, whoever you are.
It's morbid and creepifying.
But somehow at the same time, completely appropriate.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Vicious Circle still has its fans.
That's so strange.
It is. It's creepy. Yeah. Oh, and I mentioned, speaking of statistics, what did we have some god-awful... crazy a number of listeners,
like 7 million or something like that.
Oh, it's more than that. No, I don't. What? 7 million.
Reprobates.
Yeah.
Reprobates fear us.
Where was it?
We're the litterers.
Oh yeah, here we go. For all time, this is the score report toots its own horn moment. 13,171 full and complete downloads of various episodes.
Wow. Wow.
166,294 partial downloads, which is basically people listening to it on the webpage.
Huh.
For a combined 179,465 listens of all various sorts.
That's interesting.
Where our traffic, the 1.6 terabytes of data downloaded off the server last month, just in November.
That's frightening, just even thinking about
people
it.
All I have to say is thank God for unlimited server plans. Because, yikes, that would be expensive. Anyway,
back to the topic.
Back to the topic. And that call-in number, 214-530-0036. Nancy really wants to talk to callers today.
She really does.
I do.
Actually, Nancy, yes. You know, while we're taught, Arctic Elf brought up the log dog post. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
You sent me an interesting email today. You have a different kind of take on the whole monster inside thing.
I was reading that and thinking, I have no monster. I have never seen my monster. What's wrong with me? There is no monster. And I went back today and was going through the comments. And somebody mentioned, let me go back, said there's another side to it. It's called going into overdrive. Let me pull it up. Overdrive is triggered by concern for human life. There's strong evidence, blah, blah, blah. It is easier to trigger it out of concern for somebody else's life, but can engage out of concern for your own. It leaves you emotionally flat, but capable of thinking logically at very high speeds and radically boosts strength. That's it. That's my monster.
That's adrenaline.
Well, whatever it is, it works.
That's exactly what that comment was about. That's the adrenaline rush, which can accompany the monster.
Yep.
It can also be the only form.
That is the only form I've ever seen.
I mean, everybody's is a little different. Mine just breaks shit.
I
Jay Smash!
Yeah, I do everything but turn green. I don't know if I've related the story, but I came out when I was in college. I worked every weekend. I had a tight schedule. I put in about 30 hours over the weekend. And I basically got on my last class, run over to my car, get in it, drive to my job, work for like 8 or 9 hours, work all day Saturday, work most of the morning Sunday, and come back. And, you know, because I had things that I liked, like food. And one Friday, I came out to find out that somebody had slashed one of my tires. Great. Expense I don't need and time I don't have. So I jacked the car up and started to take the tire off, and it was wet, and the ground was soft, and the jack folded under the car.
Oh.
I was really angry. Now, this is the front tire in a front-engine car, a Buick Regal, to be precise. And I was angry. So I picked the car up off of the ground, held it with one hand, and pulled the jack out. Stuck it back under the car and finished changing the tire. Somebody apparently saw that because they never touched my car again. There was one time when they went down and they smashed every window of every car except mine. You could see broken window, broken window, broken window, fine. Broken window, broken window. And they're like, that's the crazy nutball that lifted his car in the air.
Yes.
So that was one of the more benign ones, too.
Well, I think, you know, it doesn't even take anything. Arctic Elf talked about harnessing the monster inside. And I don't want to bring up the death stare, but I'm going to have to, I guess.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think it's an excellent point because you don't even need to do anything as dramatic. Although, wow, it's really useful as lifting a car. But, you know, there are instances in your life where you can kind of get people to back down without and leave you alone without even, you know, doing anything overt. I'm trying to avoid the whole death stare thing. People make a joke of it now, but there was and this was from my, you know, my prior life as a blogger. I posted a thing about how I was at the brewery, and it was a very crowded Friday night, and Mike and I had gone for happy hour, and we always make a point to try to leave before the crowd comes because not our thing. So we go, we have a couple beers, you know, whatever. And for some reason this evening, that particular evening was so busy and just crowded. It was like a crush of people. And we were trying to get out of there and trying to get the bartender's attention so we could pay the bill and leave. And I'm sitting there, and I was sitting on a bar stool, and Mike was next to me. And there was a guy behind me. And I had my wallet out. I was I was wanting to pay the bill. I had my wallet out. It was on the bar in front of me, and the guy behind me, he kept like encroaching, you know, because I'm sure he wanted my bar stool. Although, you know, looking back, I don't know, maybe he wanted to grab my wallet or, you know, get up like close to me. I didn't know, you know, so, he just kept on getting closer and closer to me and he's kind of making like this weird small talk with me, which I just don't do with people. And there came a point where he actually had his arm, he was standing behind me. I was sitting on the bar stool. He had his arm next to mine on the bar. And so, you know, you can imagine his body was basically encircling my body. He wasn't touching me, but he was close enough where I could smell him, which that's a problem for me. And so at that point I turned around and I stared him down. And he backed off. I mean, this is a grown man. And he saw the look in my eyes, and I was like, I was not playing. I was not being nice. I was not smiling. I wasn't playing. And I think it's because I work with the public, and I deal with a lot of altercations and kind of, like, confrontations with people that I'm I have this kind of, like, I don't flinch real easy, and I don't do the apologetic smile thing that a lot of women do. The, oh, I'm so sorry kind of smile thing. I don't do that. I don't smile at strangers in public ever. And I think that's kind of like harnessing, you're aware that you have this power within you, and you're just letting it, just showing it to people, saying, I'm aware of my power and that I am willing to use it if need be. And to me, that's harnessing your monster inside. When I was a kid, I had a very bad temper when I was a girl, to the point where my father would like pick fights with me, and I would get all, you know, crazy and rage, rah, you know, yelling, and he would say, there, you know, you just lost right there. And so it was kind of like a learning experience for me that way. I'm pretty controlled now. I can have altercations at the library where I don't even get an adrenaline response at all anymore.
Yeah, that's amazing. Cause
I don't even have a blip.
I've been to your library, and damn.
Yeah.
If I had to deal with that day in and day out, they would be heads rolling. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wasn't real good at it when I first started working in the library. I wasn't good at it, but it took practice and kind of just becoming jaded, you know, I would say, but, yeah, so that's like my monster story.
I would like to be able to summon mine once in a while. I don't have one. I would like to be able to have something along a death stare, or just to be able to intimidate people. No, instead, the painter in my building wants to buy me a fish sandwich for lunch. I mean, I just...
Oh, free fish sandwich.
Not even like a good one, a fillet of fish.
No, not even from Burger King. That's a whole other story.
What the hell is the Burger King one? I didn't even know Burger King had a fish sandwich. What is it, like the King Fish?
I don't know. I don't even want to know. Yeah. No, so I don't have a death stare. I don't have a, why are you talking to me, face? Everyone wants to be my friend, and I don't like people. I like individuals. But, yeah, you know,
And damn few of them.
I think women have a whole different experience with this whole monster inside thing, because, you know, boys always talk about growing up and having fights and you know.
Never had a fight. I was never allowed to get in trouble.
Either. Well, the only person I ever punched was a boy on the playground, because he was kind of manhandling one of my friends. He was like holding her arms behind her, and she couldn't, you know, I don't know. He was just kind of roughhousing with her, and I got mad and I socked him one. But that's the only fight I ever had. But you always hear fights with guys, like they go out and they beat up their best friend, and then they're best friends again.
Sure.
You know, you don't.
That's what you do.
Girls don't have that at all. It's a totally different monster. Women, you know, female monsters are vicious and malicious and sneaky, and it's all mental.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So yeah. Translating that into the possibility of, like, oh my gosh, I may have to commit, you know, actual physical violence on someone is difficult for women. You talk to a lot of women, they're like, oh no, I could never shoot someone. Well, could you shoot someone to protect your children? Could you, you know.
It was that whole stage thing that I figured out I could shoot somebody to protect me. It never occurred to me until I had Susan and went, well, yeah, I could, no problem offing somebody to protect her. Well, then the next question was, well, why wouldn't I do it to protect myself? It's like, oh, right. Yeah, why wouldn't I? Yeah, 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 why wouldn't I? Yeah, bring it.
There you go.
Only in Nancy's case, it's with a giant flash of black powder.
If that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
Well, I think also with the monster issue, I think it's important that a lot of people, you know, who don't think about these sorts of things, they, you know, all violence is bad, guns are bad, violence is bad, you know, whatever. There's a difference between good violence, bad violence. You know, if you're defending yourself or someone you love, that's good. That, I mean, it's a violent act no matter what. It's violence. But, you know, if you don't start it,
Yeah, there's don't bring none, there won't be none.
Yeah, that whole right, exactly. That whole violence never solved anything bullshit the hippies like to trot out is just complete bullshit. It's ridiculous because violence has solved a great many things.
Yeah, so I don't know. Anyway, any callers, please?
Yes, we actually do have a caller.
Yeah.
Good.
Bonnie claims to be on hold.
Oh.
Excellent.
Hey, it's area code 901.
OMG.
Hey, it's Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, how's it going?
It's like the girl show tonight. Awesome.
Yeah, I figured I'd call in. I've only got like 10 minutes to talk. I have to like run out and run some errands at freaking 10 o'clock at night, but whatever. But no, I wanted to call in and talk about the whole rage thing with girls.
Right.
Cause I'm the youngest of three girls.
Oh.
And okay. I was, until I caught up with them, like I'm actually taller and heavier than both my older sisters now. And that started in seventh grade. I shot up to like 5'8" and they remained at 5'5" and 5'6". And so they stopped messing with me as much. And we actually had physical fights. And it wasn't like, you know, the girl fights with pulling hair. Like, we punched each other and shit because, you know, we were raised by our dad. And that's, like, he used to throw mittens on us and have us duke it out when we were younger whenever we had a fight. Because he was like, look, if you're going to fight, you're going to fight. So here. And mittens don't do anything, by the way. It still hurts. Like, just that. So, anyway, yeah, that sucked. But the whole psychological girl fighting when I got into school, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand how it worked because I was used to duking it out. And when I learned how to do it, I was older. You know, I finally learned how to psych people out and make them feel bad and stuff. And by the time I learned how to do it, I knew how bad it felt, so I never wanted to do it to anybody except my sisters. And it was just really weird. But yeah, the way that girls fight and the way that guys fight, it's so different. And when I started shooting, it almost felt so natural to me because I'm used to that sort of like aggressiveness that comes to mind when you shoot. It's like, you know, it's a visual physical result of something that you're doing, and that's what punching is to me. It's a visual physical result of whatever you're feeling and whatever you want from that. And I thought it was great, like shooting, because that's just what I knew. And doing the psychological thing, that's like my middle sister's ground. Like that's what she likes to do. And she still plays those games to this day. She just turned 31. And it's like we're in high school every time she talks to me. It's really weird. I don't know, but I thought it was interesting that y'all are drawing those parallels because I see it from a weird perspective because even though I grew up in a household full of girls, we were raised by my dad. And so, like, literally, throw the mittens on, hit each other until you don't want to hit each other anymore, and then we'll all go to bed kind of thing. It was really weird.
Hmm.
And silence. I love the dead silence.
No, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about, you know, did you ever have an instance where you went to school and you never hit somebody in school?
Oh, I totally did, but she hit me first.
Oh, okay.
I made it a point not. I'm trying to make myself as small and quiet as possible at school, if you can believe that, because I wasn't popular and people didn't like me because I was awkward and weird. And so when I'd go to school, I wouldn't want to talk to anybody, and sometimes people would force my hand by making fun of me. And my dad was like, look, if anybody hits you, you hit them back, but if they're not going to hit you, then just don't, you know, just don't [S2] Right. [S1] Talk to them. So people thought I was weird for not responding. And finally, I was actually in the girls' bathroom where so many wonderful things happen, and some girl said something nasty or something, and I was like, what the hell? And this was in eighth grade. And she looks at me and she goes, your mom. And I was like, because that was an insult in eighth grade. And I was like, you don't even know my mom. Like, I literally answered, you don't even know my mom. And she goes, bitch, you just talked back to me? And I was like, oh, God. And this girl was like 5 inches taller than me. She outweighed me by like 70 pounds. And she was this huge girl. And she just comes over and takes my face in her hand. And like pushes me towards a shelf on the back of the bathroom wall, like next to the paper towels. And so I thought, well, oh, this is like fighting a boy, because I'd only learned how to fight guys. So I tried to near in the crotch, which was a spectacular failure. but it freaked her out enough that she stopped long enough for me to leave. And I didn't talk to anybody about it, but apparently she told her teacher that I tried to kick her in the crotch. And so her teacher was like, you don't do that to girls, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, she hit me. And they're like, still, you don't do that to girls. So I'm like, okay. Oh. That was like my one fight in school, like my major fight that I'll talk about. But it was just, yeah, it was really strange because I'm not used to doing that, you know, that sort of thing with other people. I don't know, like my sister's is different. But once I started shooting, like I did have to do the same thing. I had to think like Nancy, you know, would I be willing to do this if somebody attacked me? And would I be willing to, you know, to put aside whatever awkwardness I felt at attacking other people and interacting with other people in that way and actually take care of myself for something to happen? And I was in an abusive marriage. And I'll tell you what, the entire time I was in that marriage, I never picked up my gun. Because I don't know why, but there's something about the environment that you're in that makes a big difference as far as that's concerned as well. So, I mean, I don't even know now if I would do it because I wasn't able to do it when somebody that I trusted and lived with was abusing me. So I honestly have no idea. Does that make sense? Like, yes. It's like an environmental thing for me.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's very strange. I really wanted to, but I never did. Well,
I think that's harnessing your monster.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think I did. I think that was the only thing keeping me sane was knowing that I had the option of fighting back.
Well, sometimes that's enough. But
he never left a bruise or a physical mark on me. So if I'd shot him, like in that town, I would have been thrown in jail. Because I would have just been shown as the crazy outsider.
And whoa, it wouldn't matter. You are.
No, seriously, in Tipton County, in Tennessee, I am the crazy outsider, but I wasn't that crazy. So, I don't know. It's weird. I'm trying to, like, make my whole point eloquent, and it's coming out, like, jumbled and garbled and mixed up. Like, I feel like this atypical head case, like, calling in with this information because I think differently than a lot of other people in some ways, but in other ways, I'm just like everyone else, and that frustrates me. Like, the whole battered wife syndrome. I never thought I'd have that. I never thought I'd have battered wife syndrome, and I totally had it.
It can happen. It can happen to anyone. I mean, it's not just, I mean, it's not just, you know, wives are not the only battered wives. I mean, there's all kinds of abusive relationships that people can be in that.
I know.
And you know, it's that you kind of wake up one morning and you're like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yep.
How did I get here?
Yeah, exactly.
I get out of this.
Yeah, this is not my new car. Yeah. And it wasn't my beautiful car. I totally didn't buy that piece of shit.
Okay.
Oh my god, I love that song.
Before Alan puts on a size 50 suit, let's.
Yeah. Not gonna happen.
Please go buy. Yeah, but I guess the whole monster thing, like harnessing your monster, finding your monster, and whatnot. I don't know. I can't take a side on that. I can't agree completely with Law Dog, and I can't agree completely with, you know, anyone who says that they literally have none. Like, sorry, Nancy, I think everybody has a monster. You just have to be put in that situation where your monster will come out. And
well, it's going to be a pretty darn bad situation if I haven't seen it yet. I mean, I'm sure it's there.
Oh yeah.
But what bothers me is I haven't seen it, and I should have by now.
You know what?
You know, the other option, Nancy, is you're just a monster all the time anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm so badass, my monster's scared of me. Yeah, yeah, right.
There you go. you're just chill. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you can take care of yourself when it warrants it. Like, if your monster never makes an appearance, like, that's pretty damn awesome because that means that you have never been in a situation where you really felt that your life was in danger. Because trust me, when you feel like your life's in danger, you act somehow. Even if it's curling up in a corner and crying, that's a monster too.
It's gone into that uber logical, flat, no emotion phase where I think my way out of it.
That's part of it.
Then that's your monster. That's your fight or flight. And yours just happens to dampen your emotion.
Mine just happens to have no personality. Okay.
You have a very chill monster.
your monster's like, whatever.
Nancy's the Zen monster.
Get the shit done to get away from this. There's nothing wrong with that. The monster doesn't just have to be crush it into little bits.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't just have to be
able to summon a little bit of that kind of monster.
Well, you know what, everybody? I think that we should all just make a pact not to push Nancy to that point.
Yes.
She is just,
let's not ever go there.
You wouldn't like me if I'm angry.
That's right.
I think that if we ever did see, if we ever saw Nancy's monster, like, the world would explode.
Yeah.
I think that's the point of this show.
Yep. Hey, thanks for calling in, Bonnie.
No problem. I got to get going. So okay. I will talk to y'all later, and thanks for letting me babble.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Great. Bye.
You know, I was thinking about Lawn Dog's post, and he works with the public too, the same way I do.
I
think that might be part of, you know, his whole control.
He probably works with the same people you do.
He at least gets to taser them though.
Yeah,
he gets to lock them up and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Which you don't.
They don't prohibit him from having a gun in his workplace.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Anyway, but no, I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, policemen do kind of have that, you know, blunted, what is it, affect kind of thing, where they don't respond the same way to altercation that a lot of people do.
Some. And then you have Officer Harless.
There's an officer at Canton who would disagree with that.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
there are some monsters that don't control themselves well. Yeah,
he's allowed to have his job back, by the way.
Yeah, he
officer
is.
Officer Harless, Canton, Ohio.
I think he's happy.
A patron, a person because
yeah,
library patron. That was a Freudian slip. Wow. Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
The Rita Monster.
But no, Officer Harless in Canton, Ohio, he made a stop and the guy had a concealed carry and he was completely legal with, you know, he had his license, everything. And the cop found out about it and he threatened to kill the guy right there. He was like, I should have shot you. I could have, you know, yep. He was so enraged at this guy having a gun on him that he threatened murder, you know, and it was all recorded, of course, in his camera. But talk about a monster and being unable to control it. I mean, that was complete opposite of Law Dog. Holy cow. You know, and, you know, Ohio police unions.
I think from what I've read on that thing,
he's allowed to get the job back. Congratulations.
I think the union did that to protect the union interest. I don't think he himself is, I think, you know, he's sitting there on disability. He doesn't have to go to work.
Yeah, he's on the gravy train. He doesn't need to work again.
Right. So, you know, life is good. But I think the union did that for their own purposes. So, anyway.
The union did that just to prove they could.
Right. Well,
that's my belief.
Yeah, it's just like the Baker's Union and Hostess. They didn't. You know, yeah, okay, as far as the union's concerned, yeah, a few thousand employees lost their job. But all those other companies, now they know we mean business.
That's right. We'll shut them down.
That's right.
We've shown them that we would rather run them out of business
than
make a concession.
Yep.
In which case, I would love to see every other company that has that union in them all file for Chapter 11.
That'd be funny.
I would love to see that, just a preemptive go out of business, reincorporate the next fucking day in a right-to-work state. Fuck you. And watch every single one of them standing out in the cold going, boy, that was pretty fucking stupid, wasn't it?
Yep. How about that Bob Costas?
Alan, I got to say, you are the worst person at Segways ever in the history of Segways. Yes. You suck.
It's my thing.
I don't even know what to say about it anymore. It's my thing. I mean,
I don't do Segways. I'm sorry. I'm not going to
get my
Segway. Well, Segways are stupid. You know, you're talking about one thing and then it's time to talk about something else. I mean, that's just. Plus, you look stupid on a Segway with, you know, there's, you know, come on. They're stupid. You have little wheels and you've got to wear a little helmet.
George Bush can't operate one properly.
I mean, come on.
Boop.
So anyway, I'm not a football fan, and so I wasn't watching football. In fact, I didn't even know about the story about the stupid football player shooting his wife or shooting his baby mom. I don't think they were his wife.
No, they weren't.
And then shooting himself. And, you know, I had to go back and read about it. So, if one of y'all – actually, we don't have any football fans on this show, do we?
Not this end, no.
Not here.
Sorry.
Well, apparently the story is that because
I can wake my son up. I bet he knows.
Because of this jerk that killed his baby mama and then killed himself and then Bob Costas, who apparently is still alive somehow.
Plastic surgery.
Yeah, and he goes on this anti-gun diatribe during a game. And then when he gets called on it, starts to do the back and forth .
He kind of dug in on it though. He
dug in on it, and then after a day or two, he kind of started going, trying to crawfish on it. So who knows? Anyway, that's about all I know about it. If somebody knows more and wants to say something, go ahead. Because
I just like that there's a promo picture of him right next to O.J. Simpson.
That's hilarious.
You know, no football player could ever kill his wife without a gun, moron.
Yeah.
Just the absolute unmitigated irony.
Yeah, like that guy. I mean, that was a big dude. He didn't need a gun to kill somebody.
No.
50 pounds? Yeah, no. Oh, well, it wouldn't have been as easy. Oh,
please.
Yeah.
Because, steroid-fueled football players are all about rational thinking, aren't they,
right.
Oh, I can't get a gun. Obviously, I can't commit mayhem now.
Yeah, right. I would say it's the guns in other people's hands that it's like those big football players are the ones that you're supposed to have a gun to defend yourself from. They're, when you get into this discussion about, oh, nobody should have a gun, if you give up guns, those are the guys that you're trusting to not beat the crap out of you when they want to.
Right.
Trust no one.
They're the ones that we need the guns to protect ourselves from.
Right.
Because without firearms, they are the Lord Humongous.
Yeah, exactly.
They are the ones who will rule the wasteland, the fast and strong and young.
And amoral,
yes.
Because, somebody made I was reading another article. It was talking about the football thug culture that they got going on. And, you got this guy who is the product of years of people making excuses for him and covering up his stuff. I mean, this is not the first time. This is one of those guys who was getting into trouble and beating crap out of people and being a bully and doing all that kind of stuff throughout his career and got it, football player.
He had a history of domestic violence.
Yeah.
Because and it was Lautenberg Amendment, he is prohibited from owning a gun. So, again, tell me what gun control laws would have done.
Yeah, useful.
Well, excuses for him. They're still making excuses for him.
Of course they are.
They're talking about, the terrible tragedy.
Yeah.
And, how awful. And, this guy, he had possible head injuries, which could have affected his behavior. And he was on this medication for the head injuries.
Yeah.
And he had a concussion. And, how terrible. And he was drinking. Right. And, excuse after excuse. He murdered someone.
Yeah.
He murdered the mother of his child and then committed suicide. I'm glad he did commit suicide after that, because God, what a mess after that. It'd be like a whole OJ trial bullshit thing again.
It would have been a circus.
But the thing that bothers me is that if he was any other guy, not a football player, he would be, you know, they'd be like, well, he murdered his girlfriend. You know, he murdered his girlfriend. There would be no discussion.
It wouldn't even made news.
Right. But there's this, you know, kind of celebrity, you know, thing where on one hand, you know, these elite people, they think that they are the only ones that can have guns because they're special somehow.
They don't
want the little people to have guns, but it's okay if they do, or their bodyguards do, or whatever. You know, but then at the same time, they excuse crimes that are committed by the same type of people. So
the Illinois state senator, who was proud pro-gun control proponent, who had a permit to carry a firearm as a security guard.
Yeah, as a bullshit security guard.
Wait a minute. It hit a 25. Yeah. What the hell were you protecting, mice?
Cups of coffee?
Yeah. Good one, Rita.
Just saying. Yeah, well, you know, it's like people who are always like, oh, I think we need to, you know, we need population control. And there's too many people on the earth and we need, you know, whatever. But they don't mean them.
No,
and
they don't mean people.
They don't mean people in their neighborhood and, you know, that sort of thing. They mean like the poor people, the brown people in Africa. We don't need all them.
Right.
You know, it's different. You know, it's almost like xenophobia. It's really weird, you know. We're better somehow. We're more responsible. I see that a lot in anti-gun people where they're like, well, you know, I'm not against guns really, but I don't think everybody should be allowed to have a gun because, you know, they're not responsible or they're too emotional. Or I hear that a lot about, you know, arguments for women not having guns. Women are too emotional. They can't have guns.
Oh, they made that argument about women for every damn thing there ever was.
Yeah.
That when the women's suffrage movement was going on, that was the big reason women couldn't vote. Well, because they're just emotional creatures. They don't have a thought in their silly little heads. You can't expect them to, you know, actually vote for a candidate.
Alan remembers the good old days before women can vote.
Well, I don't know. Considering this last election where Obama got the majority of the female vote.
I like the guy that circulated the petition to stop women's suffrage. They suffraged long enough.
He got a whole bunch of signatures, too.
Yeah, he did.
Ah, yes.
Shoot me now.
Okay, that number again, 214-530-0036.
How many call?
Save us from ourselves.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of months.
There's all kinds. I'm going to start naming names in the chat if y'all don't call.
So. It's not calling on people. You.
Yeah.
You call.
Yeah. JB Miller, call in.
So I decided to name my monster Spock. How's that?
Okay. Bearded Spock or regular Spock?
probably the original Spock.
Ooh.
I actually remember sitting on my dad's lap and watching Star Trek. The first time around.
Alan? Made myself tongue-tied. Do you have one of those original series little miniskirt uniforms? Because that would be awesome.
You want me to lie?
Yes.
Lie to him.
Got the boots, too.
Oh, boy.
You asked.
Yep. What a great show.
Yes, this show is awesome.
Is there anything it didn't predict? Let me put on my tricky geek hat now. They're even talking space warps may actually be possible.
Right, except that they destroy the land. Which personally I find a feature, not a bug.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, I wanted to bring up the Benghazi thing because it's a gun thing.
Yes.
I just wanted to mention that it came out like today or yesterday that the Obama administration approved secret weapons deals that ended up arming the Islamists in Libya, which resulted in the death of the ambassador.
Oh, look at that.
Oh. Oopsie. How nice of them to tell us after the election. Thank you, New York Times.
Oh, and they just revised the unemployment figures up.
Up. Amazing. Imagine that. Say.
Yeah, and I like how after the election, all of a sudden the press has realized that the economy's kind of shitty.
Yeah. And guess what? You got 4 more years of covering for your boy.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be awfully hard in a couple of years when Obamacare really hits and things really go in the shitter. 6 years later going, it's Bush's fault.
Yeah, right.
They're going to do it, but
yeah.
Fewer and fewer people are going to be buying it 6 years in.
I think, you know, you look at these companies that are, I mean, we lost Nancy.
Uh-oh.
Two-hole. She went to go put her skirt on.
Yeah, right. You see all these companies, the 30-hour work week is the new standard.
Yeah.
For a lot of, basically in the restaurant business.
Hello.
Hello.
Got you back.
Yep.
Good.
Yep. There.
You know, in the restaurant business, you're basically your full, you're, you know, 30 hours is all you get if you're lucky.
Well, that's because of the healthcare thing.
Right.
Now.
Exactly. So, and now they're talking about like work sharing deals where they're talking about the restaurant industry trying to go to some kind of standardized scheduling thing so employees can work at one company for so many hours and another company for so many hours. And since they have synchronized schedules, they'll be able to actually do that, you know, which is just mind boggling. When you think about the business trying to work its way around idiotic government regulations.
Yeah, well, you know,
we've never had to do that.
Anybody who had any sense, you know, predicted this. I mean,
well, yeah,
it's not,
of course, it's,
companies
yeah.
want to save money. Companies don't, you know.
You can't. The can't.
All,
the, well, the,
all,
look,
all costs trickle down to the consumer. I mean, it's like
right.
simple. You
I
know,
mean, restaurants. I think the only brick and mortar business with a lower margins than restaurants are probably grocery stores. You know, and. You know, restaurants can only stay in business because they don't have to pay the wait staff. You know, they give, you know, basically they get a token hourly wage and they make the rest of their money on tips.
Right.
You know, there's no fucking way that a restaurant can afford to have insurance for their wait staff. They just can't. It's never going to happen. So, it's ridiculous.
But you just hit on it, Alan. You hit on the whole real reason for this. All of these businesses can't afford the health care. So what do we have to do?
Yep.
Why the government will
Government's
have to
gonna
provide
pay
it for That's everybody. Right. Because everybody knows that the VA does a fucking stellar job
oh, yeah,
of providing health
yeah.
insurance.
Yeah, government
right?
health care, man, that's Cadillac stuff there. Everybody wants that.
I often hear of, you know, veterans going right past Brigham and Women's Hospital and Dana-Farber Cancer Institute to go to the goddamn VA in Jamaica Plain.
Yeah.
Sorry, for those of you that don't know Boston, Jamaica Plain is, shall we say, one of the less desirable areas. One of the don't slow down or they're still your hubcaps. Of course, everybody's going, what are hubcaps? Oh, yeah. Damn it.
Lock your doors.
Well, yeah, and the you know you already see, you know these you read about these horrors of National Health Service in Britain where, you know, they actually have death quotas at the hospitals, you know, where you know apparently they have to have so many, you know, they have a quota they have to meet of people dying in the hospital, and they will, you know, they will starve people, they, you know, they won't kill them. But if you're, you know, if you're in a coma or something like that, they'll just stop feeding you.
It's like the Saturday Night Live episode with John Belushi. Are you going to pull the plug on me?
Yeah.
Nobody from remembers that.
No, just you.
I didn't want to.
Just me.
So anyway, that's what we have to look forward to. You know, everybody, yeah. You know, Bush, whoever was it that came up with the death panels, and all the liberals are like, oh, death panels, that was stupid. Sarah Palin, okay. But the point is those will exist because the government cannot afford to give, you know, gold-plated health care to every person in the country. It can't. So they're going to come up with, you know, we'll do this, we won't do this. You know, you're sorry. Old people, the government's not going to replace your hip. Can't afford it. Won't happen. They'll buy you a wheelchair. And I'm serious. That's the way it's going to be. You think the government's going to pony up for all this gee whiz stuff that you get on your insurance now, and it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Actually, amputees are a little bit nervous about what's going on with Obamacare because they haven't been prosthetics haven't been claimed to be medical. What's the word?
Oh, shoot. Are prostheses falling under the medical device tax?
No. Oh, yes. Okay. I don't know. Yes, but it's like they're lobbying
considered
Washington.
Unnecessary.
I don't think they're considered unnecessary, but they're going to be taxed differently than...
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So they're lobbying in Washington. You know, there's all this... people are really worried about that, and I'm...
You'll get a nice wheelchair.
I'm fancy
you
wheelchair,
you get a wheelchair, they're going to give her a crutch. And it'll be a crappy one. It'll be like one. It'll be a plank.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A 2x4 cut close to Brita's size.
So, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to get my new leg before before things go haywire and Obamacare kicks in.
Brita, quick leg update. How's number two going?
Well, I wore it to work today. I'm wearing a test leg right now, and it basically looks like. A piece of plastic that fits around my leg, and it's covered in fiberglass tape, and it has the foot at the end of it. It's very funny. It's pretty redneck, yeah.
Does it have duct tape on it? If it doesn't, it's duct tape.
No, not duct tape. Well, I could put some on. It's got fiberglass tape on it. But I wore it today to work, and I seem to be doing okay until this evening. Apparently my leg is different in the morning than it is at night and the size changes and we're trying to like negotiate that part. But, it seems like the second one is doing a little bit better than the first one. So I'm hopeful, but I'm planning on wearing this test leg and adjusting it until it is absolutely perfect. And then I'll get the real leg. Because I'm not, I don't want to mess around anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I have to get it by May because I'm going to Houston in May.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay for the NRA convention. I have to be totally honest. I do not care at all about the convention.
It's okay. Nobody else does either.
I just want to come hang out. Yeah. And,
exactly.
You know, we can go out to dinner and talk and bullshit and go to the beach. And
the convention is like not even secondary. It's more like tertiary.
Yeah. It's like, oh, big room like, full of guns.
It's like
okay.
Homecoming.
Yeah.
But with people I want to see.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, there you go.
Nancy and I are planning on getting matching zombie shoes. It's going to be awesome.
Ooh.
Alan, you and I should get matching hats.
You should, or something.
Oh, I ordered a hat, actually.
What?
I ordered a Homburg.
You did not.
I did.
Oh, funny.
I'm sure.
Is that
the
funny looking one?
The funny looking one.
The funny looking one you
nice
posted
hat.
That picture.
That was.
Yeah.
Do you look like?
That was a Halloween hat at the Target that.
It's like Alan Churchill. Look.
Well, Churchill did wear a Homburg, so.
You need a vest now.
A vest?
Yes, and okay. We'll just get an outfit for you, and you can wear it. Outfit. Jeez. We will dress you up.
I'm gonna go to Cavender's Boot City and get me one of them loud Western shirts with the pearl snaps, and I'm gonna wear it with my kilt.
Oh God, not pearl snaps.
I'm gonna wear it with the kilt and a Homburg hat.
Alan, we'll have to coordinate our tactical duty kilts so we don't wear the same one, because that'd just be a faux pas.
Well, I only have black, so.
Okay, good. Mental health. Alan just has the little black kilt.
That's right. That's all you need. It's good for all occasions.
Does it match your purse?
Yes, it does, actually.
Yeah. You're not allowed to wear the kilt and carry the merce at the same time.
Oh.
I did.
Oh, Jay.
No. I got the black tactical kilt, so it would match my man purse.
Oh, my God. Just, you know, as long as you've got the pearls, you're good to go. Pearls are classics, go with everything.
I ain't saying nothing that's about what my the, pearl necklace. Right?
I didn't say necklace.
That's what the pearl snaps on the shirt are for.
Are you kidding?
Alan, when you were in high school, was the big thing with the snap shirts to go up to unsuspecting people in class and rip their shirts open?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
what?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How did girls... What did you
safety
like
pin. You safety pin. Safety pin. The top.
Yeah, I figured safety pins.
Just, you didn't get that. As long as the first one didn't go, you were fine.
Did you then grab the boy and punch them?
I told you I don't have a monster.
Oh. For the most part, as I recall, there was no intramural shirt ripping going on. It was...
Oh, there was in my high school.
Okay, you would rip off other boys' shirts?
It's kind of like pantsing someone, you know, where you pull their pants down in front
that,
of
them. I don't understand that either. Yeah.
It was sort of like a wedgie from the front.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
See, when you're wearing a sweater under your shirt, it's anticlimactic. I heard another snort. I don't think that one was Alan.
No, that was not me.
That was me. Actually, you know, yesterday, my mom was telling a story about little Brita, how I used to kick this one boy in school he would just annoy me so bad. I would kick him all the time and in the shins. And our mothers were friends, and his mom was a hairdresser, and she used to cut my mom's hair. And so one evening my mom went over to get a haircut, and Frankie went over to my mom. He's like, Mrs. Fallon, can I show you something? And he pulled up his pant legs, and his shins were like completely black and blue, because I was kicking the crap out of him all the time. Just saying. I don't do that anymore. Although I still pinch. I'm a pincher.
Yeah,
when
do.
I get angry, I pinch.
Huh.
Yeah. Stay out of pinch range.
You and Myra.
Yeah. So, yeah, my mom was telling that story just yesterday. So, nice.
I was going to mention one thing we were going to talk about last time and never got around to was the, and this is delving off into dangerous territory.
Uh-oh.
Texas politics.
No.
And the whole open carry thing.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Somebody wanted to talk about it, and I'm kind of mad about the whole thing because, you know, we have a thing here in Texas, the Texas State Rifle Association, which pretty much has a stranglehold on any gun laws that get passed because...
Like some other rifle association.
Yeah, the first thing a representative asks, you know, when you introduce a gun bill is, what's TSRA think about this, you know? So unless the TSRA blesses it, the chances of it passing are slim and none. So somebody has expressed the intention to file a bill that would allow people that have a concealed carry license to also open carry. So it would not be a concealed carry license. It would just be a carry license. at that point, and you can carry open or concealed depending on which is, you know, meeting stiff resistance from the TSRA, because there's a large group of concealed carry licensees, mostly you know, trainers and stuff like that, people that make money off of it. But anyway, there is a fear that is, in my opinion, unfounded, that if they had open carry, more stores would put up, you know, no guns allowed signs, which, you know, on the one hand, I don't think it'll happen. On the other, if it does, I'd say, so go to another store.
Right.
Who cares?
Yep.
It's not that big a deal. You know, the other 43 states that have open carry don't seem to have a problem with it. So I don't know what the big deal is. So anyway, that's enough of that.
Well, isn't there also the issue of people are concerned that police would kind of abuse their power and start going up people they, you know, they see open carrying and asking to see their conceal, you know, their license?
Well, yeah, there's a couple of people that, you know, there's it really irritates me to hear, you know, the supposed pro-gun people making the anti-gunner arguments against open carry. And, you know, it's run everything from, you know, blood in the streets to, you know, the cops will harass you and, you know, all that other kind of stuff, you know. And
well, the cops probably will harass you.
Well,
it happens everywhere.
It happens, but it doesn't happen, you know, it happens once and there's a big PR thing about it, and then they don't do it again in that jurisdiction. And then, you know, so yeah, there will be some examples made, and there will be some people that, you know, that make a lot of money off of that jurisdiction when the lawsuit time comes around. And then you know, eventually the cops will get used to it and they'll stop doing that. I don't know. I really have a hard time getting all worked up about it.
I'm on the constitutional carry end of things. And the only thing I can say is imagine Officer Harless encountering an open carrier.
Oh,
holy shit. I think his head would pop like a tick.
I'm always concerned about that when I open carry in Ohio, because it's, you know, we're allowed. I'm always concerned about that because we've had instances in the area where police overreacted to an open carrier. It's scary. You know,
there were actually a few examples in New Hampshire, in basically either Manchester or Portsmouth, two big cities. And the New Hampshire Attorney General, who is now a U.S. Senator, actually sent a registered letter to the police chiefs in both cities reminding them that open carry is legal.
Wow.
Nice.
That they were not to harass people simply for open carrying. That's why it's Kelly Ayotte. And when her name came up as one of Romney's potential beeps, I was like, hell yeah. I really didn't want her out of New Hampshire. So I'm like, damn it, I want someone like Kelly representing New Hampshire when I finally get there. But yeah.
When you finally get there, when will that be?
8 years.
Because I know you have it down to the day.
Yeah. 8 years.
8 years, 6 months, 7 days,
years,
and 43 hours.
And days today, a week. 8 days, 6 months, a week. Yep. Bingo.
Oh, boy. So anyway, 214-530-0036. And
Colin, tell us about your monster.
Yeah, we're almost done anyway. So.
Yeah, I think so.
Screw y'all.
Screw
bunch
y'all.
Of, bunch, of, bunch of non-caller in, calling in.
Bunch of what's he's Bruce. Calling?
Lax spittles.
Alan drove over 8 hours to get here in time
I
for
did.
The show.
Right.
It was like 9 hours, and I sat in a damn. Somebody had a wreck on the bridge in front of me, like 3 miles from home. Right, I'm 3 miles from fucking home, and I've been driving for 9 hours, and my butt hurts, and I'm like, and then I get to the stoplight in front of the bridge, and there's no way I can't. You know, this is the bridge over the ship thing into the bay, and I can't. There's no other way to go. And somebody has a wreck on the bridge, and I sit there for like 20 minutes, miles from home in traffic. Just like,
that happened to me when I drove out to North Coast for the first one. I like flew down 90, not a problem, all the way through New York, all the way through Pennsylvania. I get in Ohio, there's an accident. Some idiot in a camper went off the road. It's just sitting there, like, completely dead stopped on 90. Yeah. What the hell is going on? Like, I've been sitting in the damn truck. Of course, I drove through New York with firearms in the car. And the whole way, I'm like, because you just hear all the horror stories about New York.
Yep.
So, like, the whole way, I'm like, I had to stop and take answer a call. And it was like, pull, screech to a stop, jump out of the truck, lock it, sprint in, take care of things, sprint back, and gone. I wanted to be stopped as little as possible.
Yep.
And I finally, I'm like maybe 45 minutes away. I'm looking at the GPS, and all of a sudden it's like, traffic just stops. Like, but I'm better now.
We have a caller.
Hey!
Area code 432, hello.
Hey, this is Aaron.
hey.
My apologies to J.D. Miller for cutting him off. I just saw in chat that he... tried to call in too, so I'll make this quick.
No, it's okay. We can have 20. If he said it's busy, he either dialed the wrong number or something, because we can have 20 people stacked up waiting. So.
Oh, okay. No, my biggest problem so far with the open carry movement here in Texas has been basically the open carry advocates, if you can call them that, they have these personal texts they start out with. During the last session, they started this thing about, well, their bill was originally a constitutional carry bill, but the NRA and the TSRA overwrote that bill.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird shit going on in the last session because, part of the problem is that the TSRA has a real hard-on for this campus carry thing. And they're going to try to get it passed in this session again. I hope they can, because they'll stop, you know, if they can get it passed, they'll pay attention to something else for, you know, instead. I don't know. It's, you know, it's, you, we complain, you know, in Texas, it's always, you know, it's, we're always real happy that the legislators only meet for a few months every other year. And when they do meet, they're so busy. All they have time to do is, you know, pass the appropriations bill and not much else. And we're fine with that until it's like one of these things where it's like, damn it, we want something passed. They don't have time to do it.
Oh, I agree. And no, you know, it's basically, you know, we all of us gun rights people need to get on the same page here in Texas, and we need to get results. But as long as we're doing this petty infighting, where one group, well, they don't support my thing, so they're anti-gun when you get right down to it. That don't cut it.
Well, in the defense of people that say that, the TSRA is very much opposed to open carry in Texas. And whether that's a, you know, I'm sure that doesn't speak for the entire TSRA, you know, membership body, because I'm sure there's a bunch of people that would like it.
Well, there's a way to fix that. These people that go off on this whole war garble, TSRA doesn't support open carry, I'm not going to join them. They're going about it the wrong way. They need to join it. They need to vote, and they need to change the leadership if that's what they want.
Well, that would certainly help. But you know, so far the you know, the TSRA's had a lot of excuses for not supporting open carry. You know, the one they're using now is that our members don't seem to want it. Well, and you know, like you say, a lot of that's because the, you know, the TSRA really doesn't have a whole lot of support in Texas anyway. You know, if you look at the membership numbers, they're, you know, given the population of Texas, the TSRA membership is not that great.
I know. And a big part of their political power comes from the fact they're the state-recognized NRA affiliate.
Right. Right.
You know, their power comes from their association with the NRA.
Yep.
I mean, if you had another group come in and become the NRA affiliate, TSRA's power would dry up overnight.
Well, also historically, the TSRA really hadn't been that involved in politics. You know, they've done a lot of work with you know, rifle matches and, you know, stuff like that. But until until they didn't even, I don't know, I don't remember how long Alice Tripp's been the legislative director, but, you know, they, and she's the, like the first and only that they've ever had. That's a fairly recent development.
So. Yeah, and, but, you know, really the solution is we all just need to get on the same page.
Yeah. To, I think that there's a lot of, you know, I'll push back a little about getting on the same page because there's a lot of people in Texas that do not want open carry. And right now they seem to have the ear of the TSRA and a lot of other stuff. And the reason a lot of them give for not wanting open carry is they're afraid that the stated reason, there's a stated and unstated reason. The stated reason is that they're afraid that more businesses will put 30-06 signs in the windows and, you know, so you can't go in.
There's a simple solution to that, though. Write the bill so it don't touch 30-06.
Well, yeah, but then you're getting into the whole, you know, Texas, the convoluted bowl of spaghetti that is the Texas Constitution, which, you know, you gotta write with a fine pen.
Go ahead and leave 30.05 as the criminal trespass for, you know, for anything that's open carry. That's how it is with rifles right now.
Yep. Hey, I always
doesn't apply to a rifle.
Right. Yeah, it only
carry
applies.
Shotgun in the library.
Oh no.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't expect to see open carry in Texas in this session. I think somebody'll introduce a bill, but it won't get anywhere. And
but I will say that people's minds are changing on the subject.
Yeah, there's, you know,
and,
well, it was that way with concealed carry, too.
I'm not going to say the name of the forum, but the people that have a big gripe against the concealed carry people have their forum, and they have an open carry forum for this legislative session.
Oh, you're talking about Cotton's forum?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah,
now,
I saw
at
that.
Least he's willing to pay attention.
Actually, I'm permanently banned from that forum, so I have a lifetime ban.
Nice, congratulations!
I know it's kind of one of my.
Yo, I got bad news for you on that one. Apparently, he's recently learned that it can be a partial ban now, short-term ban.
Okay.
So
I may try again.
You may email him, but he might take the ban off.
That'd be funny.
You know, that's one thing that gets me, too, is a lot of the open carry advocates, they look at it as going to that forum and getting banned as some kind of rite of passage. You don't have your open carry cool kid card unless you go there and do it.
Well, that is kind of true, you know, until you get.
You know,
until
so
you
they
get...
go over there, they do the personal attacks to get banned a lot faster than they would otherwise.
Well, until you're not a true open carry advocate in Texas until you've been banned from Cotton's Forum. So,
I hate to say it, but he's willing to at least hear the debate now. So,
yeah, that's actually a big step because last session he was not at all if you even brought up open carry in the forum there he would kill it and ban you. But you're right.
And
this session, they actually do have an actual forum group where they're actually talking about it. And he's actually come out and said that he would not be against open carry himself, mm-hmm. Done the right way, which is a pretty big change. So we'll see.
You know, there are the bomb throwers out there, as he would say, that, these are the ones that, with what was it, the range protection bill, tried to claim, in the last session, the range protection bill, they tried to claim it eliminated the protection for, gun confiscation.
I don't remember that.
I think you can find it over on AR15.com, that particular thread.
Oh.
And,
ARFCOM.
Yeah. I mean, Cotton went over there. I even posted to it. And I'll be honest, I don't I really don't see why there's so much fuss with the personal attacks. You know, let's save that for the enemy. You know, that would be Bloomberg, his people. You know, and you know, whatever the little group that CSGV is running now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, let's save the personal attacks for them.
The eight members of them.
Oh, they got eight now.
Well, it's the eight paid employees that are.
Oh, okay. Because I remember the last time I saw a protest or their protest, they had seven people and like 30 signs.
Yeah.
Sounds like the protest in Charlotte.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was the same group.
I think that was it.
Yeah, it was. They were out there with their. Oh yeah, we're gonna have a protest. And there were more people standing around watching them, making fun of them, than were actually protesting,
pointing and laughing.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna let the line free up and.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
You know, there's hope. Yeah. You know, there's hope. Just you know, keep working at it.
We will see. Thank you. And that's Texas politics. So, yay. We won't do that anymore.
I went and got a snack.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's all right. We talk about Massachusetts legislation, but it's all bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's whatever. Hey, we're almost out of time.
Although with the mayor of Boston in the hospital for the past month and a half, they haven't tried to ban scooters lately. See, it's boring when it's not your state.
I know. speaking of states, did you see the murder stats in Detroit are on track to break a new record this year?
Yeah. Yeah, but how many of those are law-abiding citizens shooting carjackers dead?
None. Are they doing that? Is it even legal to do that in Detroit? I don't know.
It is legal to do it in Detroit.
Oh, okay. And Pete, I do know that Rick Ector's doing a booming business in.
He's doing good work there.
teaching people in Detroit how to defend themselves. Talk about a lawless city.
Yeah. They're going bankrupt like next month or something, right?
Yeah, they are. They're hoping for a miracle, and they're not going to get.
Well, they're hoping for a bailout from Obama because they voted for him.
They delivered the votes. Yeah, that's right.
That ain't going to happen.
Yeah, well, you know, ask the gay community how that works out.
Yeah.
Because you know, Obama just came out and he said even before the election, nah, I don't think I'm going to do the gay marriage thing in my second term. He got the votes. What does he care?
Yep.
Yep. Yep. And on that happy note.
Yeah. Hey. We slogged through another one.
Alan, we never got to hear about your monster.
Oh, that's true. I don't have a monster.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Good call, Jay.
Well, you know, I try to keep it in my pants.
Oh, my God.
Fred Snyder did a song about that, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Hey, we're not talking about your Elmo.
Elmo loves you.
And good night, folks.
Yep. Oh, boy. Yeah. See y'all next week. We'll try to clean it up. I'm sorry.
No, we won't.
Yeah, all right. All right. Anyway.
Sure. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.